Chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We preached a little bit this morning on this and preached about a little maid. A little maid. And a little maid had a loving message, and there was a letter sent from the king. And then there was a lowly king that cried out to God, and then we found a listening prophet through it all. In 2 Kings chapter 5, and now everybody's done their part. And what we saw this morning was how many people were involved in that. It started with a little maid. A little maid and a letter sent by the king of Syria. Then it went to a lowly king, the king of Israel. He cried out to God, looking for an answer. Said, am I God? Can I heal? And it ended up in the lap of a listening prophet by the name of Elisha. And so that's where we're at this evening in 2 Kings chapter 5 verse 1. I'm going to read it down through it. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, the Bible said, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. There's that little maid. What a blessing God tells us about. That's who we can be, a little maid. That's what I preached about this morning. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord would with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go and I will send a letter. There's the letter sent unto the king of Israel. He departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He brought the letter to the king of Israel. And there's a lowly king here saying, now this letter is coming to me. Behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel. He said, I'm praying about this. I'm praying, would to God. Over there, there's a lowly king. He knew he couldn't get the job done. And in verse 8, there's a listening prophet. And it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. That's good stuff. All in there, brother. And now we went through a little maid with a loving message to a letter sent. And we went to a lowly king, and we went to a listening prophet. And now we're on the doorstep of the man called Naaman. Somebody asked me what I'm going to preach about tonight. I said, we got to get Naaman out of the mess he's in tonight. I mean, we got him to the door right now. We got the message to him. And now it's a deal breaker or a deal maker. Because you and I can do all we can do. And we can be the little maid. We can be the letter said. We can do all that. But at the end of the day, it's up to the individual. It's up to Naaman now how he's going to handle this. Look at verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. He's got his big parade there and goes to the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, say, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, he was mad, and went away and said, behold, I thought. That's what I want to preach. That's the title of my message tonight. It's called, behold, I thought. This morning, the title of my message was a little maid. But I want to preach about, behold, I thought. And he said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper, or not abandon in Pharfag rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had said, bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said, wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean, and returned to the man of God. And he said to all his company, came and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing. And Lord, I pray tonight, Father, as we come before you,
And open up the Word of God and bring this message here. And what a wonderful message it is, a picture of our salvation. A lot of messages, a lot of things in here, Lord. I pray the Holy Ghost of God would do what I cannot do and take it and give us and inspire and take it and enlighten and breathe upon it and give it life, God, and do what only you can do. Stir us up, whatever we may need tonight, God. May you speak to us, Lord. May we know, God, when we leave the building tonight, God, you spoke to us. Not a man, but you, Lord. I pray your blessing upon our message now tonight, in Jesus' name. And I'm just going to jump in this real quick and gave you a little bit this morning about a little maid, and I'm going to try to get through this pretty quick as I can. I'll try to do it in 30 minutes Sunday night, but we'll see how this goes. It's got about 7 points real quick. I want you to notice the first thing about Naaman. There was the conceit of Naaman. Naaman was a great man. The Bible said in verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Israel, was a great man with his master and honorable. And because him the Lord had given deliverance, he was also a mighty man of valor. And brother, when he shows up there in verse 9 over there, it says, so Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. I mean, he showed up, and Naaman had all his chariots, he had all his soldiers, he had all his servants. Brother, he had a big deal, and there was conceit of him, and there he was. He showed up, he was a big shot, man. I mean, he was one of the kings, he was one of the leaders, man. He was one of the captains, he was a mighty man, and there was the conceit, and he shows up there at the door of the house of Elisha. I want you to notice something else real quick. There was the condescension of Elijah. Look what it said in verse 10. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again, and I shall be clean. And Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought surely he would come out to me and stand and call upon. Hey, Elijah didn't even go out of the door to meet the guy. We need some man of God like that, brother. That he didn't impress him, brother. Harry come up there with all his chariots and his soldiers and stood there at the door of Elijah, expecting Elijah to roll out the red carpet and all that kind of stuff and laying out. And that man of God didn't even walk out there to see him, Miss Martha. He sent a messenger out there. Amen. And old Naaman said, behold, I thought surely he'd come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord. Surely, I thought he'd at least do that. There's the condescension of the man of God. He wasn't impressed. Brother, it'd been today, be like Donald Trump coming out or something. Michael Pence. Boy, we'd get all the neighbors together, and we'd get them, they'd get their autographs, and we'd probably get out there, Brother Bunk, and make a few selfies with them. Hey, look over here. Hey, right over. I mean, we'd be laying it out big time, wouldn't we? But Elijah didn't even go out the door to meet him. And he went out there, brother. He didn't even go out the door. He sent a messenger to him. There's the condescension. He didn't impress Elijah. Elijah didn't even walk out the door. There's Naaman standing out there. Brother Ben, he had to feel like a fool. I mean, he done had 6,000 pieces of gold. He had all a train there. That's a big deal, man. He had a letter from the king. He had all his soldiers. He had his servants. There's probably 100 people out there, and they were all going up for this really big show to see this prophet do this miracle, and the prophet didn't even go out the door to meet him.
He had to stamp on it, too.
He just sent a messenger out there, his servant, to send him. Here's the condescension of it. Here's the conceit we see over there with Naaman. Brother, we need some men of God like Elijah in the pulpit today, brother. I want to say there's a condescension. Somebody else, I want to say there was a concoction of this thing. That word concoction, I like that. It means invent an elaborate story, especially a big, dreamy fabrication. There's a concoction. And there was Naaman's concoction. And Naaman said, we was wroth. And he said, behold, I thought surely he'll come out to me, and he'll stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place, and he'll recover the leper. He thought, boy, this is going to be a really big show. He thought Fox would be there, and CBS, and NBC. He had a big deal. He had this thing concocted, this great big old show, and Elijah don't even go out to meet him. There's a concoction of it. He thought it'd be an Ernest Angley deal, you know. We went to see Ernest Angley before. I think Bunk was with me. And I mean, that's a big deal, boy. I mean, he gets out there and they walk up there and he, Bill! I'm sure that's what he was expecting when he walked out of Elijah, walked out there, and he said he'd call upon the name of the Lord, Miss Martha, and he'd strike his head, Miss Rita, and the leper would recover. I'm sure he told Elijah was going to come out there that day, and they're all out there, and take old Naaman by the head and say, Bill! And healed him. But Elijah didn't even walk out the door to meet him. There's a concoction he had. He said, behold, surely... surely he'll come out. Behold, I thought. Hey, and let's be honest. If I was in Naaman's place, I'd think the same thing. Y'all remember Elijah? Elijah was his predecessor. Y'all remember him? Now, this is Elijah we're talking with an S right now. But Elijah was his predecessor. He was his mentor. Over there in 1 Kings chapter 17, if you remember about Elijah... remember what he did in 1 Kings chapter 7 Kings. He raised the son of the widow woman to life. Remember that? In 1 Kings 18, you know what Elijah did? He could call fire down from heaven that day and kill 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the grove. He, Elijah, could raise the dead. He could pray and it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. No wonder Naaman was expecting a big deal. Because if you remember, read your Bible. Elisha, who we're talking about right now, Miss Martha, remember him? He got a double portion of what Elijah had. He had more than Elijah. No wonder Naaman was thinking, man, this thing, boy, behold, I thought this is going to be a big show right here. Yeah. Come on, guys. Come on, servants. Come on, soldiers. It's going to be a big deal right here. And a dude don't even walk out to beat him. There was a concoction. He thought, boy, it'd be a big show, and Elijah might bring fire down from heaven. There's no telling what he might do, this prophet. There was a concoction. And there was a command. Woo! You know what Elijah told him to do, Brother Bunk? Go jump in the lake. Yep. That's what he told him. Go jump in the lake. I mean, he is expecting some big deal, Brother Ben. And Elijah said, hey, go down there and wash in the river Jordan and do it 7 times. That had to be the most ridiculous thing Naaman ever heard in his life. Look what it said in the Bible. It said he was wroth and it said he went away in a rage. I mean, he told him, he said, go down there in that dirty river of Jordan and don't go once. I want you to dip down in that thing 7 times in front of everybody. In front of your soldiers, in front of your servants, in front of the whole world, I want you to not once, not twice, not three, not four, not five. I want you to do it 7 times in front of everybody.
Take the whole armor off.
Yep. And old Naaman looked at that and said, hey, are you crazy? I mean, there's a command. He wanted to make sure everybody saw this great man of God, like Brother Buck said. He had to strip off everything. He had to get down to his nibby bibbies. He had to take his armor off. He had to lay down all that grand dirt, didn't he, Brother Bonk? He had to get there and make a fool out of himself, just like you did when you got saved. There was a concoction there. Well, there was that command that Elijah gave him. He said, go down to that river and dip 7 times and make sure everybody saw this man of God. You know, I know what Naaman was thinking. Who does this guy think he is? Don't he know who I am? Miss Rita, don't he know who he's talking to? Listen, I'm a mighty man of valor. I'm a great man. He wants me to take my armor off and strip down in front of everybody and jump down in that river Jordan and dip 7 times. Not on your life. That ain't happening. There was the contempt. There was the command he had. Look at the verse there. It says he went away. Naaman was wroth when he heard that. And he went away and said, behold, I thought. Behold, I thought. That'll get you in trouble sometime, by the way. Surely it will come out to me. And he'll stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God. And all the place to recover the leper are not abandoned. Far the rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Jordan. May I not wash in them be clean? And he turned away in a rage. There was contempt. He was mad. That's not what he wanted to hear. That wasn't the message he was looking for. Boy, he was looking for this great big old show. He can show everybody and everything and had his soldiers and everything. And then that prophet wouldn't even go out the door and meet him. And then when he told him, send his messenger, he said, you just go tell him to go jump in the lake. Go down there and jump in the River Jordan 7 times, dip himself 7 times. Naaman was wroth. Went away in a rage. He was expecting some really big show, and Ed Sullivan would say, some really, really big show. There was contempt he had. He said, hey, why in the world would I go down there to that River Jordan? I can go down here to these beautiful rivers of Damascus over here. Hey, I got the best physicians, I got the best magicians, I got the best medicine in the whole world in Syria, and that little old preacher wants me to go jump in the River Jordan. He must think I lost my mind. That's what happened to me when I got saved. Isn't that what happened to you? Isn't that what happened to you? Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it said, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but we are saved of the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it's pleased God by the foolishness to preach and save those which are lost. 1 Corinthians 2:14, for the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, their foolishness unto him. I tell you, when I first heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ, Brother Bunk, and I heard about Christians, that was the dumbest, foolish thing I ever heard in my life. It was contempt. I thought all Christians were crazy. Brother, it was contempt just like him. Go get in the River Jordan. Hey, you want me to believe and trust and receive a man that was dead 2,000 years ago on a cross? You think I'm crazy? That's what the world thinks. That's what I thought before I got saved. Just like Naaman. There was a contempt he had. And it could have ended right there. If it had been up to Naaman, right there, Brother Chris, this would be the end of the deal. There would be no salvation. There'd be no healing. There'd be nothing left, Brother Ben. I mean, he was mad. He went away in a rage. He was done with it. All these people have been trying to help him. We had a little maid this morning with a loving message. We had a letter sent by the king of Syria. We had a lowly king, the king of Israel, calling out to God for help. And then we had a listening prophet bringing him a message. And we go all through this, Miss Martha. And he get him the message. And he goes away and mad and enraged, Miss Liz. And the story is over about there. It'd be done. But there's something else. Look at verse number 13. There was a concern. Right now the game was over. Naaman wasn't having anything to do with this, brother. Look what he had. In verse 13, there was concern. And his servants came near. That was his servants. You didn't do that, by the way. For them to come near, that means they stood up to him. And they said they came near to him. And they were concerned about it. And here's what they said. And they came near and they spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather be when he said, go wash and be clean? You know what they were? They were concerned about that boy. Naaman done had enough. Naaman done went in a rage. And you know what they did, Brother Ben? They stuck their necks out for him. They were concerned about him. Somewhere in your life, I'm going to tell you what happened. Somewhere in your life, somebody was concerned about your soul. Amen. There was somebody, a servant of God, somewhere went out of their way and they were concerned. You weren't concerned, you were going to hell. But they were concerned about you. It might have been a mother. I've heard Ben give his testimony. His mother. It might have been a sister, a brother, a friend, a preacher. It might have been somebody you don't even know. But there was somebody that was concerned about your soul. You weren't concerned about it. Naaman wasn't concerned about it. Brother, he walked away mad. He didn't want, the game was over with him. I'm reminding Brother Bunk, calling up Brother Charlie. I talked to Brother Charlie, me and Brother Chris here about a month ago out there. And we was talking about that. He was telling about that. When you called him up and used to play a message and put that phone. You know why he did it? He was concerned about his soul. He was concerned about his soul. He said he was crazy. I mean, Lynn Smith walks in a pool hall there when he's shooting pool $100 a game, the devil's disciples, and Brother Lynn Smith walking around with a Bible witnessing to him. You know what he was? He was a servant of God that was concerned. There was Naaman. He was a contempt. The game was over. He went away in a rage, but his servants came near to him. Brother, they stuck their neck out. And they said, "Hey, my father, if he would have bidded thee to do some great things, wouldn't you do it? And why don't you just go down there and do what he said, wash and be clean." You know, them servants, just like I preached this morning about the little maid and the letter sent and a loving message, all they had to do for Naaman to die was do nothing. And that little maid, she was captive. She was captured by her enemy. She was a slave. I mean, if it had been me, I was saying earlier, I'd have let that sucker die. But she had a loving message. Oh, she didn't have to kill him. All she had to do was nothing. All them servants, I don't know if they loved him or not or what was going on, but all they had to do was let it die, Miss Frieda. And that dude was dead. But they were concerned about him. And they came near. And they went out of their way and they stuck their necks at him. There was their servants. Not only that, I want to show you something else. There was consent. The word consent means to yield, to comply. You know what Naaman finally did? He got the message. Look at the first, 2 Kings chapter 5. "And his servants came near and spake unto my father, the prophet had bid thee some great thing. Wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather when he said, go wash and be clean?" And the Bible said, here's the key. Then went he down. He got out of that chair, Brother Buck. He put that armor on, Brother Buck. He got down with God and humbled himself. That's the whole key to this whole chapter, is when Naaman went down. Brother, he had that conceit, had that concoction, a great man. Let me tell you, God don't save great men, he saves sinners. God don't heal great men. Brother, he went down. He went down. Jesus said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Brother Ruggman used to say, "Oh, if I could just get a sinner, I'd have me a good message, man." Hey, God has a message for sinners. And once Naaman got consent, and he went down, the rest of it was easy. That's the hard part, is going down. There was the consent from Naaman. He went down. That's when a person begins to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." When you realize you can't do it yourself. When you realize you're going to have to humble yourself and bow that knee. When you realize, brother, you're going to have to say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That man went down, the Bible said. Jesus said, he went down justified. Brother, when you go down, that's when God will meet you. You know what the world wants? They want Jesus to come down to their level. That's what they said on the cross, wasn't it? "Come down from the cross and we'll believe." Yeah. That's what they say. Come down to our level. He's not coming down to your level, brother. If you want to get saved, you got to come down and go up to Him. Amen. Just like Naaman. Naaman went down. That old prophet, that man of God, he didn't even go out to meet him, Brother Buck. He said, "I won't even go out there. I'll send a messenger out there." He said, "I'll show him how great he is." Finally, he got the message. There was consent. Look at the next thing. There was a cleansing. The Bible said he went down. Verse 2 Kings 5:14. "And went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of a man of God." Woo! I like that right there. That's good. There's a bunch of messages in here. "And his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." It said he went down, I like it, seven times. Miss Martha, I wonder sometimes when he went down three, he was thinking, Miss Frieda said, "Hey, this ain't working. This is ridiculous. Everybody out there is looking at me and laughing at me. I done went down three times. This is a total waste of time." But he didn't. He went down seven times. Because he had went down six, nothing would have happened. But he kept going and kept going. And there was a consent. There was a cleansing. And there was conversion there. He sat over there and said his flesh became as a little child. That was a picture of you getting born again. You got saved, my friend. You went down. God cleansed you. Washed you in that blood. And that river Jordan, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunge to lose that. Lose all their Lord, guilty stain, we say. Brother, you went down in that blood, and that blood cleansed you, and you got flesh, became new. Brother, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you got born again. There was a cleansing, there was conversion of Naaman. There was his consent. Get through there. He didn't get just cured, see. He got born again. He got a whole, Bible said, his flesh became as the flesh of a little child. And he was cleansed. And I'll tell you something else about that old boy. He knew something had happened to him. Look over in 2 Kings chapter 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of a man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed. Remember where we started? Remember the title of our message? Behold, I thought. Behold, I thought he would come out unto me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord and strike that and recover the leper. Remember, he started off, behold, I thought. But look at verse 15 after he is cleansed. And he returned to the man of God and all his company and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know. Woo! He went from behold, I thought. And when he got through and met God and got cleansed, Miss Martha, he said, behold, now I know is a God in all the earth. Woo! That's what happened to me. Brother, when I got saved, I was like Naaman. I thought I had this thing figured out, Brother Bunk. I was an atheist. I thought I had figured it out. Behold, I thought. In July the 30th, 1975, at Randy Mills' house in Pleasant Grove one Wednesday night, I went down into Jordan, brother. I went down that blood and asked Jesus to save me. I went down. Behold, I thought. But brother, when I came up, behold, now I know. I've been saved for 45 years. You might shake and rattle and roll me on a few things, but bless God, you're not going to shake and rattle me no on my salvation. Amen. Just like old Naaman. Naaman knew something happened to him. I knew something happened to me that night. I've been printing out tracts for 30 years. We've been down to Jimmy Hale Mission 30-some years. I mean, I've dedicated my life to something that happened to me. You say, why? Because now, behold, I know. I know what happened to me. I like that old blind man. Over in John chapter 9. Over there, you know, he was blind from his birth. And Jesus healed him. And they're over there trying to mess him up. And they said, give God the glory. We know this man's a sinner. I love what he says. I got a message on this. He said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But this one thing I know, wherein I was blind, but now I see. He said, I don't understand all this stuff. Can't figure it out. That's what happened to me. I didn't know about the resurrection. Even I didn't know the deity of Jesus Christ. I didn't know all that. But brother, I knew when I was blind. But now, I see. And that old blind man, he didn't know it all. But he knew he could see. And he knew Jesus Christ had took him, touched him. Old Naaman went down that day. And he said, behold, I thought that man of God at least come out. Surely he'll come out, Brother Bunk. Surely he'll come out with all my people out here and all my soldiers and his servants and all these gifts I brought him. Surely an old preacher will come on out the door at least. Elijah said, you just go tell him to jump in the lake.
I got this, man.
Blew a gasket. It was over then, wasn't it, Miss Rita? He was done deal. Until that servant stepped in and said, hey man, they came near him and said, oh father, if that prophet would have bidded thee some great thing, you would have done it. How much more? And he said, go wash in Jordan and be clean. Brother, he went down, dipped in that thing 7 times. If he had went 6, it wouldn't have been no good. 7 times in front of everybody. And he started off that thing, behold, I thought. And when he got the end of that thing, Brother Bunk, just like me, he said, behold, now I know. You're not going to shake me on my salvation. Now, I don't. You can shake me on a lot of things on this, sir. I'm not too interested in too much beside the Word of God and trying to serve it. You can shake me. I'm the most unpolitical, anti-political person you ever met. I don't care who is. Humpty Dumpty, get away. I don't care. I'm serving Him. My hope's in Him. Better to trust in man than to put confidence in princes. I don't care. They're not going to shake me on that stuff. I tell you what, I know whom I believed in.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul said over there one time, he said, for the which cause I suffer all these things. Nevertheless, he said, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believed in. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. I know whom I believed in. I was preaching at our Jimmy Hill Mission. We did it for 31 years. I loved it. 300 or 400 men out there. And I preached to them several times. I told them, Brother Bunk, I said, now I'm going to tell you something. You may have never in your whole life seen a born-again saved man. You may have never seen one. But I said, tonight you're looking at one. I said, I didn't join the church. I didn't get religion. I said, God saved my soul and I got born again. And I said, if you've never seen one of those, you're looking at one right here tonight. And I'm going to tell you, July the 30th, 1975, I went from behold, I thought, like Naaman. Naaman got through. Behold, now I know. Now I know. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight. Father, we pray Your blessing tonight, Lord, that we have a God.